Thank you, choir and Jerry. That Jerry knows more music. I think he knows songs haven't even been written yet. You know what I mean? He's ahead of the game. I'm thankful for him. Jerry came to me and said, "What can I do to help you, Pastor?" And I said, "You just cover music. Me and music, I can listen to the radio on occasions without messing it up." Okay? That's it. That's it. But I'm thankful for those that can sing and share things. And I enjoy music, all kinds of music and stuff. But that's not my cup of tea. A little confessional preaching this morning, okay? That's one of the ways you preach, is confessional. We learn about prayer and different ways of praying. So one of the things is I wear short sleeve shirts and stuff. You know, when I was at Graham and stuff for 20 years, I was preaching one Sunday morning, sweat rolling off of them, and one of them come to me and said, "Why don't you take that jacket off?" You know, I said, "Okay." You know, had a big congregation. There were about 15 of us there, you know. In fact, we had a member die, and the whole church went to her funeral. The whole church went to her funeral. I told somebody, "I've never heard of that before," regardless of how it's a church and stuff. Things, but I wear a short sleeve. Now, there's somebody close to me that says it's because of a lot of hot air up here. And I told her, "Yeah, the choir sings," but don't tell her. I think she's talking about me. I'm not exactly sure, but don't say nothing to her, okay? I'd appreciate that a whole lot. Confidence, I want to talk to you a little this morning, but I want to share with you that every once in a while, I need to go back to the basics. Back to the whole basics of my life. I don't know about you, whether you ever do that or not. Think about all those things, you know, maybe something you did as a kid or whatever type of thing. But mine, sort of spiritual journey. I want to go back to basics, remembering on the west side of Marion in a camp called the Cedars, which was for RAs and GAs. That was for, maybe some of you don't know, that was an organization for young people and stuff. And they had a camp. The Virginia Baptist had a camp outside of Marion. Went there and gave my life to Jesus Christ. Had a guy from Big Stone Gap was my counselor, and he shared about the Lord, and I said, "You know what? That's something I need. That's something I need." And so I gave my heart to the Lord there, and went back home and talked to Mom and Dad about it, and my dad said, "You know, I need to be part of church too." And so me and my dad went down together, you know, when I joined the church and stuff. We were baptized together. Just something a little bit different stuff. So that's one of the basics I go back to. And then I go to another one in Davenport, Iowa, when the Lord called me to preach. And I'll have to tell you that story some other time. But the Lord impressed upon me that I need to get out of what I was doing and go someplace else, you know? And I was in the wrong place. And I called my parents and said, "You know, I'm afraid, you know, I messed up and stuff, and it's cost some money and stuff, and I realize that and things, but I need to come home." And, "Okay, come home." So I came home, and a guy got me in Bluefield College. Yeah, his influence got me in Bluefield College. You know, if it shut the door anymore, I wouldn't have made it in. That's how close it was for me. Able to go to Bluefield, and there I met this beautiful young lady that has put up with me for a lot more years than she deserves, and you know, to do and stuff. And somebody should have some relief, you know what I mean? But you know, and I met her, and that helped change my life and stuff and things. We went to Kansas City together and went to seminary and those kind of things. Had a couple kids together. If I'd known she had them kids, I wouldn't have married her. You know what I mean? And they were rousing sometimes. No, we had lovely kids, and I appreciate them, love them. And I'm thankful for all these blessings. But so, like I say, sometimes I just need to go back. Go back and say, "Hey, where you been? What you been doing? What's that done? And how is it for you now?" And so I'm going to talk to you about confidence 101. You know, that confidence and 101 is usually the first course you take in anything. So if you go to some kind of meeting of any kind of thing, they might have a one-on-one there. And we're looking at Psalm 23, which I think, you know, unless you've been in a closet underneath something, if you haven't heard Psalm 23 and been in church at all. I mean, in funerals, I've heard it at weddings. It's one of the, I guess, the most beloved psalm that there is. And I look at it and think, well, boy, there's probably about 6, 10 sermons and stuff. Don't worry, I'm not going to do them all today, okay? I'm just going to try to cover one type of thing and stuff and stuff. Okay, as we look at Psalm, first of all, I think we look at the provision that God gives for us. As the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, as far as I know, in life, we have a choice. We have a choice to be a slave to Jesus Christ or a choice to be a slave to the devil. That's the only two choices I've ever found. One or the other. It's not any in between about it. You're either one way or the other. And so if you're taking the choice of being a slave to Jesus Christ, what he's saying is, I'm your shepherd. Now, John 10, he talks about that, you know, and he says, I'm the good shepherd. And he says that other shepherds are just hired people. And they don't take good care of you. And they're not willing to lay down their life for you. You know, bad stuff comes, they'd say, I quit. Clock me out. Gone. You know, I need to be someplace else and things. They don't take it serious enough, you know. Most of you felt like there's something in your life that says, hey, nobody takes care of it like you do. Nobody's going to love you like your family loves you. You know, they know you got problems and all that kind of stuff, and they do too, but they still love you. And he says, so the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that cares for me. And so you think about, what's a shepherd do? And, you know, somebody said, oh, yeah, gets out on his four-wheeler and rides out and checks on the sheep and comes back or takes the dog out and rounds them up or something. No, those days, that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case at all. It was one person, lots of times, maybe two, and they had the sheep and stuff. And one of the things they did before they even took them into pasture was go around the pasture and check the pasture, make sure there were no poisonous plants. They make sure there were no objects that could hurt them. They made sure that there were no scorpion nests. They checked everything out. They made sure before they took any sheep into the field that everything was okay. A.T. Robinson wrote a set of books called Word Pictures of the New Testament. And I think, you know, probably we ought to have some word pictures of the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible and be able to see, what's this about being a shepherd? He's a shepherd to us. And so he says, I will not want. My needs are taken care of. Now, sometimes we got wants and stuff, and nobody will take care of them. Like somebody said, yeah, I used to have a Sears and Roebuck catalog, and I'd flip through it at Christmas time, and I'd write down my list of stuff. I said, well, what'd you use? And they said, well, I probably need to roll the paper towels, because that's probably how long my list was, all the stuff I wanted for Christmas. I said, didn't have anything to do with my needs. It's I wanted. I want this, and I want that, and I want, you know. But he's saying, I shall not have any needs that are not taken care of. That's what he means. Not that all my wants be taken care of, but at least my needs, and it can mean that word. He said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Like I said, isn't that important? I don't know. I see sometimes places and cows and animals and sheep and others are scrounging around trying to get a bite to eat. You've probably seen a field like that, haven't you? Around and all that other stuff. And say, you know, let me get a hold of something, you know, here and stuff. Greyhound gave me the privilege of driving West Texas one Christmas. And one guy was riding along and he said, "Well, where's all the cows out here?" And he said, "Well, it takes about 50 acres to raise a cow." So if we'd known you wanted to see them, we could have rounded them up and got them all to the fence for you. And one guy said, "Well, right over this hill is the largest green grass in this part of the country." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah. We went over the hill and there was a clump of grass about like that." He said, "That's the largest part in this country." He said, "It takes 60 acres to raise one cow." I said, "Wow." So the fact that our shepherd is going to take us into green pastures, a condensed place where there's plenty to eat, plenty to munch on, plenty to enjoy. You get tired of eating, you just lay down for a while, and you can get up and eat again. That's a green pasture. You can just eat till you feel, and there's still stuff there. That's where he takes us. Our Lord, our shepherd, leads us in that type of situation. And he says, and he leads me beside still waters. And that's an important thing. Still waters. We had the privilege to ride the duckies on a new river. That's swift water. Rapids. The first thing they told us is, if you fall out of the ducky, don't stand up in swift waters. Swift waters will, you'll stand up, you'll try to move, you get hung in a rock, they push you down, blah, 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 you're gone. Said, just cool it. When you get calm waters, put your feet down, and go ahead on out. So Jesus, the psalmist says, I'm going to put you beside still waters. So you have enough to eat. You aren't in danger from any swift waters, but you have enough to drink. You know, 60% of our human body is water. According to Mitchell and others, which was done in 1945, a study, the brain and the heart are composed of 73% water. So that's why you slush when you walk, okay? We got so much water in us, huh? The lungs are about 83% water. The skin contains 64% water. Muscles and kidneys are 79% water. And even the bones are water in 31%. We need water. That's why they say, are you hydrated? Do you drink enough water? You know, do you have it right there and stuff? Some people say, yeah, the older you get, you forget to drink. Huh? One lady told me, said, yep. I said, what you in the hospital for? She said, I just forgot to drink. I just forgot about it. But he says, as a shepherd, I put you beside still waters. No danger, plenty of water, what you need. So we don't, no lack of any physical necessities. There's no lack of spiritual necessities. He restores my soul. Now, in Hebrew thinking, the soul is a total body. Greeks, you know, mind, body, soul. Hebrew, soul, complete. So it's like restoring life. And that's what the scripture tells us when we come to know Jesus Christ and we become new creatures. We become new. He just makes us new. And you know, I sometimes think he's in the process of just totally making us new every day. We have different experiences, different things going on in our life, something a little bit different. He's renewing us. He restores my soul all the time. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, paths are always important to me. We walked a little on the Appalachian Trail, and I know Chris will tell you about the Appalachian Trail, and if you want to volunteer to work on it, he'll take you. Yeah. Yeah, and stuff. But it's important to be on the right path. they do a fantastic job of showing the right path. But one of the funnest things that ever happened to us was we were down in North Carolina hiking with a friend. This lady came up and said, "Can I hike with you?" I said, "Well, yeah, if you want to." She said, "Well, I'm 72 years old, and my husband doesn't know that I'm out here hiking by myself." She said, "What's your name?" I said, "My name's Bill." She said, "Can I tell him I'm hiking with you?" I said, "Yeah, you could tell him that if you want to and stuff." Well, we got going and stuff, and our friend and this lady were walking off and stuff. And I walked a place and noticed that there was a brush pile over the side, and somebody had moved it. And I looked at the trail, and I said, "No, this is a trail. These trail workers have put this brush pile over here to keep somebody going from an office path." It was a decent path, good-looking path, just the wrong one. And then I realized that my friend and this lady have gone the wrong path. I pulled out my whistle and blew it, and he responded, and I said, "Hey, bro, you're going the wrong way." So being on the right path is important. He said, he leaded me in paths of righteousness, you know, and the right ways of life, and the good ways of life. He gives to me those things that, you know, help me in life, puts me where I need to be. Sometimes I figure out, you know, hey, somebody needs me and I need to be there. And sometimes I don't really realize, and sometimes I get in on it, but that's what he does for him. And he all does it for his name's sake, not for my glory, not for your glory, maybe for your celebration and joy about it, but not for your glory. He does it for us. No lack of spiritual necessities. Second of all, he gives protection. Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. Have you ever been in a dark place? I mean, absolute dark. We were in a caverns several years ago, and they said, "Is anybody afraid of dark?" And nobody said, "No, no." Said, "Well, we're going to turn out the lights." So they turned out the lights. And I thought, "Oh, this is dark, isn't it?" And so I took my finger out here like this and went, and it touched my nose. I did not see my finger at all. It was completely dark. I said, "Well, I sure don't want to move." And they said, "Please stay in your place and stuff." And one guy hollered out, "I want my mommy." Yeah. Even though we go through the valley of the shadow of death or the darkest places in our lives, it really doesn't make any difference. I'll fear no evil, for he's with me. Basically, he's saying, the psalmist is saying, God's got you back. Regardless of the situations you're in. Sometimes, you know, we're in scary situations. Sometimes we're in scary situations for ourselves or other people and things. We just don't know what to do. And he says, you know, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and following says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I'll never fail you. I'll never abandon you. Shall we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I'll have no fear. What can mere people do to me? If God's got you, then what can anybody else do to you? Nothing worse. When we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have eternal life. Now, folks, we're going to change locations. We're going to change locations, but we still got it. So, he's got it for us. And he says, second of all, my rod and staff comfort me. You know, I've always thought, you know, yeah, talked about the spare the rod, spoil the child. Of course, somebody said in my day that meant don't let the kid have the car. Yeah. But, you know, I never thought when my mother or dad picked up a a stick. We had a big weeping willow tree in our yard, and we had the privilege of going out and cutting off a stick so that they could use on us to give us a whipping, you know, and stuff. That was our job. It wasn't nice to, you know, they believed in that and stuff. And they're limber, so they're not going to hurt. Wrong, you know, type of thing. So he says, you know, my rod and staff comforts me. And you got to sort of think, when you think about this staff that, or this stick that the excuse me, shepherd carries, has a crook on the end and is long like that and that stuff. And the crook on the end is for when a lamb is sort of having problems and you reach down and help them get up, help them do other things, and you know, that kind of thing. The rod, the straight part is that if they're butting each other or doing something they shouldn't be doing, he can sort of give a little discipline or push them aside. Or they're going the wrong way, you can just sort of push them with that rod and say, hey, get in path here. Get in fall. Sheep will follow each other, I think, as people said. Hebrews 12 says, have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to us as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those that he loves, and he punishes it, each one he accepts as his child. Don't make light of it. I had a kid one time said, my mother and dad let me do anything I want to. I said, well, don't they love you? Well, yeah, they love me. Why? I said, well, if you had a dog and it was running out in the road, would you say, well, dog, you want to, go on. Car coming, but go on. Just go on. He said, well, no. I said, well, parents will love you. Give you a little discipline along the way. Tell you no. That's not the thing to do. And God sometimes has to tell us no. And sometimes we don't listen too well, and he shows us, you know. So it puts and stops us. And so you can't do that. You're not going to do that. So his rod and his staff, they comfort me. They give to me what those things that I need, the discipline I need, but also the encouragement I need. He can pick the crook and pick us up and say, okay, go on. In the presence of my enemies, he says. And he prepares a table before me in their presence. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I've overcome the world, Jesus said in John 16. Another thing, he prepares this table before, and the enemy's all around you and stuff. But hey, sit down and eat. Sit down and enjoy. I'm with you. He anoints our head with oil. My cup runs over. Anointing head was in those days and lots of times reserved for kings and special guests. Well, some people, when they had a guest, they'd anoint them with oil. In those days, they might have needed something to change your smell, you know, because it had been out and stuff. What is it? You say you smell good, right? Yeah, okay. Same type of thing. Yeah. You need sometimes to be anointed to help you in life. So he says he does that. And he says, my cup runs over. We went to Las Vegas one time to a convention, a Southern Baptist convention, and the interesting thing was they had cheap hotels and cheap places to eat. Now, they don't gamble in Las Vegas. It's the Gaming Commission. It's not whether you're going to lose your money. It's how long is it going to take you, okay? They got it made, you know. They pay out plenty, but they got it figured. You can go in a grocery store, there's a slot machine. You go any place, there's a slot machine. You go in a hotel lobby, you do not go to your room without going through the casino. They even had a Burger King in the casino. Problem, our kids were young. They weren't supposed to be in the casino, but there's no way to avoid it and stuff. But they had some nice places to eat. We went to one place to eat, and they came out and said, well, here's get you a tray and stuff and get what you want to eat. And they put this little old cup about like this for your drink. I don't know. I 8 ounces, I could down that anytime. You know, most of us could when we were younger. I was sometimes running a lot every day and stuff like that. So I said, you got another one of those you can have. Well, yeah, I guess so. Having enough to drink. But here the Lord's saying, I'm not just giving you enough to drink. Your cup's going to run over, spilling out. So if you wanted to, I guess you'd be sort of like a dog and lap off the table. But you know, just the point of it's more than enough that you need. It's beyond what you need, but it's also part of what you need. Your cup runs over. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinite more than we might ask or think in Ephesians 3:20. He's going to accomplish a whole lot more. Our cups run over. Third point is we have preservation. All the days of my life, every one of them, start to finish, God's with us. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me. You know, that's good to think about, that with all that God gives us and stuff, how can you not have good days? I love springtime, don't you? My mother and father planted some tulips. We get to enjoy them. You know. Linda's planted some things. We get to enjoy them. Deanne's given us some things. We get to enjoy them. We got some seeds when we were in Canada. We planted them. They came up. We get to enjoy them. The leaves coming out, we get to enjoy them. The mercies and things of goodness that God gives to us is just running out, filling our cups all the time if we'll take them. He says, that goodness and mercy follow me. He says, all the days of my life. 2 Timothy says it, yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack, will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. He says he's going to take care of you all the time, all the days of your life. And then it says, the second part of that is forever. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. When this translation first came out, some people were very upset. They said, my Bible says he's going to give me a mansion. What do I want, a mansion or a room? Well, I've thought about that and prayed about that. We had the opportunity I tell people, we were suffering for Jesus and went over to see my sister and brother-in-law on Maui. I say I'm not going to get any sympathy from y'all at all either. So I'll just share with you about it, okay? They've had a place there for several years. They lived in Alaska, so they would go to Hawaii during the winter. Good choice to me and stuff. We had hadn't had opportunity, so several years ago we had opportunity to go with her. That place was just the yard, you know, so green. It was in the middle of February and stuff and things, and everything was green, flowers all over the place and everything and stuff. And my sister said, "There's one place I want y'all to go and see." And I said, "Okay, do it some evening." And so we did, and we went down on the island, lower place for them. And she said, "I want you to just get out and walk." I said, "Okay, what am I walking through?" She says, "You're walking through a Four Seasons resort. I said, "Okay." So I went in this place, and man, big old fantastic buildings and stuff, big chapel out back and stuff. Had people walking around, and the family would stop and get ready to take a picture, and they'd say, "Oh, here, let me take this picture so y'all know I'll get out." Had 160 rooms, had 100 employees just to do things just like that. If you needed anything, they provided. Walking along the beach, and here's some whales out there, you know, spouting off and stuff. I got one picture, and you can see it coming up, you know. Seeing the whales move about, I thought that was really great. And then I looked over there, and they had a place. And I said, I asked myself, "What's that?" I said, "Well, that's one of the rooms." I said, "A room? That's a pretty good sized room." She said, "Well, it's really a suite." I said, "Oh, but to sell it is one room." She said, "Yeah. It's $14,000 a night." I looked it up. It's gone up a little. It's a little over $16,000 a night. "How many rooms you? How many times you want me to book you, okay?" "No." "Uh-uh." I said, "Uh-uh, that's not me." Said, "Yeah, it has its own cook, has its own cleaning person, has its own chauffeur. Just a room for a night for $16,000. I said, "You know, maybe that's a room God's talking about us being in." My wife said, "A house, I think about, I have to clean dust and all that kind of stuff, a mansion or whatever. But a room, is somebody else going to take care of that? You know, what is he going to give us? Whatever you describe it as, whatever you feel like, he's going to give us a place forever that we will be with him, and it will have all that we need, all that we want, plus his presence." What a wonderful picture. One of the word pictures that we need to have. When they think and deal in God's kingdom. Thanks be to the Lord. The word he gives us. May we pray together. Lord, for your guidance, for your love, for your sharing with us. Thank you. Now as we come to the time of decision, Lord, help us to hear you. Our word spoken, as we listen to your word, spoken to us. For it's Christ's name we pray. Amen.